Welcome to the Father State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Father State by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate, locals.com. Click on the link right there in the description. And thank you all for supporting our work. I have with me today Joseph Rose, and he is a satanic podcaster, host, and leader of the Satanic Delco Congregation and Charity. Joseph, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's funny, I have on Satan colors today, and you have on the Christian colors.
I guess so. Is this the Christian colors?
Yes. What, did you notice right away I had on Satan colors?
I saw the stark colors there. I like it.
Amazing. And so, you are a Satanist. What is that exactly?
Well, maybe that's the biggest question, right? My definition, a Satanist is someone who has a veneration of Satan. There's a lot of different people that call themselves Satanists. There's a lot of opinions about what the word Satanism is about, but I think the most broad sort of blanket definition is a religion or philosophy that includes a veneration of the character of Satan.
And so are you a Satan one?
Well, I don't believe in Satan as an actual thing, and most Satanists don't. I'm an atheist. If you hear the term modern Satanism ever, those people are atheists almost universally. There are, you know, I would suspect very small amounts of people who are theistic Satanists who actually believe in the devil and worship the devil. We don't do that. Satan is a symbol for us.
So you're not a Satanist?
I'm a Satanist, and Satanism is a religion that has existed since 1966, and it has always been atheistic. It's not an actual worship of the devil. We don't believe in that.
So do you believe that Satan exists? The devil exists?
No.
I'm sorry?
No, I do not.
So you don't believe in heaven or hell?
No.
Do you believe there is a God?
No.
And so have you always been a Satanist? Were you a Christian at one point?
No, I was never a Christian. As a very young person, of course, when I was told the stories and introduced to the ideas, I guess my small child mind just sort of took everyone's word for granted. They said something about God. I thought, okay, that's a thing. But once I was old enough to sort of think about it, ask questions, seek out the answers, I never really fell into Christianity.
And so do you believe there is a God?
I do not.
And why not?
I've never had a reason to, I guess. Like I said, when I was a kid, like most kids, I guess I was told a lot of stories. I was told there's a fat man that comes down the chimney once a year to give me presents.
That's Santa Claus. That's not God.
Right. That's just one of the stories. I was told that there's an Easter bunny that comes.
Are you saying you don't believe Santa Claus is this?
I don't. I was told all these stories, just like I was told about God, and none of them really rang true for me.
Really? And so if you don't believe there is a God, who created you?
Who created me?
Yes. Who created you?
Well, I assume you mean in like the grand universal sense?
No, I want to know who created Joseph if you, Joseph, don't believe there is a God.
I mean, I'm not sure if this is what you mean, but I know that my mother and father created me.
And how did your mother and father create you?
I suspect that in 1977, they were having sex.
Right, so they had sex. And as a result, you came about. The only thing that happened then, your father put the bread in the oven and you came about. But who created you? Who causes you to breathe every day?
That's a pretty inherent biological function of humans.
Really?
That seems amazing to me.
And so are you in control of you, yourself?
As best I can be, yeah.
Are you in control of yourself?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's always parts of life that we're not in control of, right? But I'm generally in control of myself.
And what part of life you're not in control of?
I mean, unexpected things happen, right? You know, I had a small car accident recently. It was sort of out of my control.
Amazing. So I'm a little confused because I don't understand why you call yourself a stationist, and yet you say you're not a stationist. You are an atheist, right?
Yes, I am an atheist.
Go ahead. An atheist? Why you have to call yourself evil?
I don't find it to be evil, and I don't support evil. I don't enjoy evil. I don't do evil. And I've found that most Satanists do not. It doesn't really have anything to do with being a Satanist.
Really? And so I'm black and slow, right? You know how black people are, right? I'm black and slow. Explain to me why you came up with the title, the identity as Satan. Where'd you get that from?
Well, in 1966, a man named Anton LaVey started the Church of Satan, and thus was born the religion of Satanism. So I didn't really come up with Satanism. Anton LaVey did. And thus began the religion of modern Satanism.
Oh, so you just see it as a religion, which is not of Satan, but it's just a religion for you.
Yeah, some people view it as a religion. Some people view it more as a philosophy. And to me, those are sort of interchangeable.
And how do you view it? How do you view it?
Really, there's little difference in the terms to me. You know, if it's my life philosophy, my moral code, my religion, they all sort of feel the same to me.
And so, and again, I'm black and slow, but it is to you, it's a religion or philosophy?
Truly, it's either. But yeah, I use the word religion, yeah.
Oh, okay. And what is the purpose of it? If it's not to worship Satan, what is the purpose of it for you?
For me, and I think for most people, religion serves, whatever your religion is, religion serves to enhance your life. It gives you all of the things that we want religion to give us. In my case, it gives me community, and it gives me a way to express my morals and feelings about the world.
And what are your morals?
Well, that's a really broad question, you know. But like you were asking earlier about supporting evil or anything like that. And like I said, that's just not part of it. I think Satanists, I can speak for myself. You know, I view myself as a good person. I try to do the right thing. It doesn't really have anything to do with evil.
And you say you view yourself as a good person?
I think I'm a good person. I try my best.
And what's good about you?
I mean, I think I'm kind. I think I'm a good father. I think I'm a good friend to people when they need a good friend. You know?
But those are things you do. What's good about you?
I'm not quite sure what you mean.
You say you're a good person. What's good about you?
I mean, I guess at the very basic level, there's a lack of evil about me. I'm not out there trying to hurt anybody. I'm not really trying to do anybody wrong.
And when you're doing these so-called good things for your child or children and your friends, why are you doing those things?
You know, it just feels sort of natural. You know, I've never given it a lot of thought. In the course of doing public actions related to Satanism, I have a congregation called Satanic Delco, and really early on in our existence, we wanted to take on some charitable efforts in our county where we live and nearby areas. And one of the first things we did, maybe the first, was a homeless outreach.
And why did you do that?
Because it was summertime and the pandemic had started. And we knew that there's a homeless population in Delaware County that was obviously suffering. And we thought, since we have numbers, since we have a group of us all sort of around one place, what can we do to be useful or helpful with this group? And one of the first things we thought was taking on a way to help the homeless population of Delaware County where we lived.
So how did you feel about helping the homeless people?
How did I feel about it?
Yes.
I felt good about it. It felt like a doable thing that would be beneficial to some and a way for us to test our ability to organize amongst ourselves and, you know, execute a charity campaign.
And you got a good feeling from it.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was for you then to get the feeling that you were doing something good, right?
Our thought was about helping people that needed the help.
But also it was for you to get the good feeling that you were doing something good.
I can't say that was part of our conscious motivation.
Was it part of yours?
But yeah.
You said yes?
Sorry?
You said it was part of it to get a good feeling that you were doing something good?
Yeah, I think when you do something good for others, sometimes you get a good feeling.
Amazing.
And I'm happy to have it.
And what causes you to have bad feelings at times?
I guess all the same things that make anyone feel bad. Sometimes you're lonely. Sometimes you're thinking about the struggles of others. Sometimes things just didn't go well. Sometimes you get hurt. And those things make you feel bad.
And so sometimes you feel good and sometimes you feel bad.
For sure.
Don't you think that's amazing?
I do.
Amazing. So do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I don't, no.
You don't believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I don't, no.
And why not?
Well, I might not be familiar with what exactly you mean by a fallen state, but no, that's not a feeling I've ever had.
Amazing. And so when you're feeling good and you're feeling bad and you're feeling good and you're feeling bad, you don't recognize in those moments that you're in a fallen state?
A fallen state, just meaning, can you explain what you mean by that?
That's something wrong with you. That is not normal to feel good and to feel bad and to feel good. That something has to be wrong with you to be going up and down emotionally.
Oh, no. No, that feels the most normal. If I was always happy or always sad, that would feel very unusual.
How about if you were neither happy nor sad?
Sometimes there's days that feel like that.
But how about if you live life as a whole like that all the time?
That would be pretty dull.
It would be dull? How do you know if you've never done it?
I mean, if I have one or two days that are dull, that feels pretty dull. So I can only imagine that multiplying that by every day would be not so great.
And so you prefer to have your up and down thrills than to be at perfect peace?
I think I do, yeah.
I understand. Amazing. What's important to you?
Wow. What's important to me? My son is important to me. The people in my life are important to me. I like to feel good. We're talking a lot about feeling good and feeling bad. You know, I like the good things. I like the things that make me feel good.
Amazing. So are your parents Satanist as well?
My parents are deceased.
Oh, okay. And were they Satanists? Go ahead.
One of them was a Christian. I believe my father was a Catholic. And my mother was an atheist, I believe. And I suspect, I can only guess, but I suspect that if she was alive today, she might be a Satanist.
And did you grow up close to your father or your mother?
Closer to my mother. I didn't really have much of a relationship with my father.
And why not?
He just wasn't really present.
And when you asked him about that, why weren't you around, what did he say?
He had excuses that really didn't ring true to me at all.
Amazing. So were you mostly like your mother than your father?
Yes, I would say so.
Really? In what ways were you like your mother?
I usually describe my mother as kind of a wild character. She was young when I was born, and she was just kind of a freewheeling character. You know, she loved music and the arts and things like that. She loved to have fun. And she instilled in me a lot of the passions that I carry with me today, things like music, especially, and things like that.
So you like her in a passionate way?
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing. Do satanic people have a Bible? Do you guys have a Bible?
There is a book called The Satanic Bible. And it was written by Anton LaVey, who I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And the book was published in 1969.
And what do you guys discuss in your Bible, in your satanic Bible?
Well, I should say, so Anton LaVey started that Church of Satan in the 60s and published the Satanic Bible. And that was more or less the way that the mainstream knew of Satanism for a long time, over 50 years, until around 2013, when another prominent modern satanic organization popped up. And there have been others in between.
Right.
But there are sects of Satanism, denominations, if you will, different belief systems within Satanism, just like Christianity. So not everyone is really interested in the Satanic Bible. But I think most Satanism out there have at least good bits in common with the foundations of Satanism. But I think the Satanic Bible is an important book, and all Satanists should be familiar with it.
And what? Give me examples of what you study in the Satanic Bible. What do y'all talk about? What do you read in it?
Anton LaVey, his satanic philosophy in a lot of ways was a real direct rebellion against Christianity. He leaned really hard in being just sort of anti-Christianity sometimes. And a lot of the values and things that Christianity represented, Satanism really sort of took the perspective of the opposite of that. For example, Anton wrote in the Satanic Bible that Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. And, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the idea that Christianity in many ways sort of encourages abstinence.
Right. Yeah.
And Satanism really enjoys indulgence.
And that's what you learn from it?
That's one, yeah.
And so you believe in indulgence?
I enjoy indulgence, yeah.
In what? Food or what?
All the things that make us feel good, sort of carnal pleasures.
Oh, okay.
Good food, good music, good everything.
So the Christians believe there is a God. They believe right. God exists. But, and I'm still confused because you guys say you're Satan worshipers, right? You have a satanic church. You're into the same thing. But how do you separate Satan from his own church?
We don't believe in the existence of an actual Satan or God or Santa Claus or any of them.
So why did you call it satanic? Because what does the word Satan mean to you? What's the definition of Satan?
Well, it means a lot of things. Some people view it
What does it mean to you, the word Satan? What does that mean to you?
It's a character in literature that goes back many, many years.
And who was the character?
I'm not sure. I mean, the character is Satan. There was a character that was written about in religious texts. There's the character of Satan appears in, tons of fictional writings over the years.
And is he good or
Satanists
evil?
Nowadays, many modern Satanists look to the Romantic era. They call it Romantic Satanism. And it's not actually a type of Satanism. It's just it's sort of a genre of literature. And there are books that get sort of lumped into that, things like Paradise Lost.
And so is Satan good or evil?
We view Satan as good. And the character of Satan is sort of the rebel against the tyranny of God in those stories.
And do you believe those stories?
I don't believe that the stories are true stories that happened, but just like any work of fiction, you can take meaning from it.
And that's amazing. Where do you get your morals from?
They develop based on the world that you live in, the people that you're surrounded by, and the experiences that you have, and the way you interact with the world and everyone in it. You start to develop your own sense of what feels right and what feels wrong, and how other people's behavior makes you feel. And that probably has a lot to do with the way you want to treat someone else.
Do you have a free will?
I believe so.
You have a free will?
Yeah, for the most part.
Do you have a free will?
Yes.
And so do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace?
Do you have perfect peace?
No. I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that, but no, I don't feel like my life is perfect peace all of the time.
And why don't you have it all the time?
Mostly because no one of us, no person is able to completely control everything in their life and what happens and the way it affects them. And so it would be hard to have perfect peace all the time.
But if you have free will, why don't you will yourself to have perfect peace at all times?
Because I can only control myself. If I have free will,
you say you have a free will,
myself.
Right?
Free will to control my own actions, but I can't control your actions.
No, but why don't you cause yourself to have perfect peace at all times if you have a free will? You say you have a free will. Why don't you will yourself to have perfect peace at all times?
I haven't figured that one out yet.
Why? But if you have a free will, what is there to figure out?
Yeah, if I figure out a way to give myself perfect peace for the rest of my life, I just may go ahead and do that.
But if you have a free will, why don't you just do it? You can just will yourself to do it if you have free will.
I mean, I've never known anyone who's figured out that power, but it's interesting to think about.
But is it possible you don't have a free will?
I mean, maybe we understand the idea of free will differently, but if free will requires the ability to give yourself perfect peace for all of life, then no, I guess I don't have free will.
Amazing. Do you believe in evolution?
I do.
You do? You believe in evolution?
I do.
And why is that?
It feels like over a pretty long period of time, scientists have used rigorous study to pursue the theory of evolution, and that seems to be the one we're going with right now.
And you believe in that?
It seems believable.
Have you ever seen a monkey, an ape, turn into a human being?
No.
So why do you believe evolution is this? Because at some point you should have seen an ape turn into a human being, right?
No. I don't think the theory of evolution doesn't suggest that monkeys could turn into humans.
And what does it suggest then?
It suggests that monkeys and humans at one point both came from a common ancestor.
What does that mean?
It means that through the process of natural selection, species branch off and evolve into a separate species and evolve differently.
So are you saying that at some point human beings and monkeys came from apes?
No, I'm saying apes and humans share a common ancestor.
And who is the common ancestor?
Well, originally it was probably a single-celled organism somewhere.
But that doesn't make sense. Why haven't you seen that happen at some point in life? Well, you don't even have proof that it came from a common whatever. There's no proof of that at all. Zero proof.
I can't sit here and present you with the evidence that scientists have been studying
because
for
there is
hundreds
no evidence.
Of years. Well, I mean, I believe there is, but not everyone is convinced of it, of course.
And where's the evidence then? Give me one quick example of the proof.
I mean, we have a pretty lengthy fossil record that we've learned a lot from. You know, and again, I don't want to claim to be a representative of the scientific community. I'm not. I don't have a degree in biology or anything like that. So I'm probably not the best primary source to learn this from, but the evidence is there if you really want to look for it.
Amazing. You said you had a son. Are you married?
I'm not married.
You're not married?
No.
Oh, okay. Let me ask, what is the satanic Delco? What's the purpose of it?
Satanic Delco is a congregation of Satanists. And we have members worldwide, you know, all across many parts of the world. And there's also a group of us that live more sort of local in one area. And I guess the purpose of the group is, like most religious congregations, it's to provide people with a religious community that they can find value in all the ways that people find value in a religious community. Or any community that they want to be part of.
You don't believe there's a Satan and you don't believe there's a God. Do you create your own thoughts?
Do I create my own thoughts? Yes. I mean, I can force myself to think about a specific thing that I want to whenever I want to. In addition to that, sometimes I think about things unintentionally.
And do you create your own thoughts?
Yes.
And how do you do that?
I mean, I'm not really sure how to explain the mechanism of how it happens, but we sort of intuitively learn how to do it.
And so you believe you create your own thoughts, but you can't tell me how you do it?
Correct.
And so why do you believe you do it if you don't know how to explain how you do it?
Well, I know I do it because I can do it whenever I want.
And so if you create your own thoughts, why do you create good and bad thoughts for yourself?
I mean, I don't often, I don't think I really give myself bad thoughts on purpose.
Right. If you're the creator of them, why do you create them if it's not on purpose? Or why would you create negative or bad thoughts for yourself, period, if you are the creator of thoughts?
Some parts of life aren't positive. Sometimes they're negative. Sometimes they're difficult or hurtful. And so sometimes we have to think about them. They have to be dealt with.
But if you're the creator of them, why would you have to think about them if you're the creator? Why would you create those thoughts for yourself if you're the creator? Why don't you just create?
I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how to answer a question like that. You know, why do we do some of these subconscious things that we do?
But if you're the creator of your thoughts, you would never create bad thoughts. You would create all good thoughts for yourself at all times. Is it possible that you're not the creator of your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you mean. I mean, I guess I do know what you mean. The opposite of being the creator of my own thoughts would be God is the creator of all of our thoughts.
I haven't said that.
We're just a vessel receiving thoughts.
That's not what
thoughts.
I'm thinking at all. I'm just wondering why you believe you are the creator of your own thoughts, and yet you create bad thoughts for yourself. Why would you do that to yourself if you are the creator?
It seems to just be universally a part of the human condition.
Then
sometimes
you're not the creator.
We have negative thoughts.
You mean that something else is doing it?
I mean, are those the only two options?
I mean, either you're the creator. Did you say the universe is doing it?
Well, no, I'm saying we have involuntary thoughts sometimes.
And so if they're involuntary, that means you're not creating them. They're involuntary. Something else is causing them to happen, right?
Yes.
So then why do you say you're the creator?
I can create my own thoughts.
And how?
Right now, if I want to think about my dog, now I'm thinking about my dog. I know what he looks like. He's right in the house. I know I can remember everything about him. I just chose to do that. And like magic, I did it.
And then sometimes the universe chip in and give you bad thoughts or good thoughts.
Correct.
So you're not the creator.
I'm a creator, and others get created on their own, I suppose.
So I noticed that the satanic people are jealous of God. Why is that?
You would have to ask them. I don't feel jealous of God.
But you are jealous of him.
How would you know that?
Because you are denying that he exists. If you were not jealous of him, you would not deny that he exists, nor would you try to go to schools and things like that and convince children that Satan exists.
I'm not jealous of God.
How do you know you're not jealous of him?
I would never go to a school to tell children that God doesn't exist or that Satan exists. I don't think anyone should do that.
How do you know you're not jealous of him?
I feel no jealousy.
What does jealousy feel like?
It feels like the feeling of jealousy. it's hard to articulate, but we all know it, right? You know when you're jealous of someone.
Right.
I've been jealous or envious of things in my life. It never even crossed my mind that God would be one of those things, because I don't believe that God is real. And your premise, I believe what you just said, is that by denying that he's real, I'm jealous of him. So that stands to reason that I'm jealous of everything that I deny the existence of. I'm not jealous of Santa Claus. I'm not jealous of the headless horseman. I'm not jealous of tons of things that I deny the existence of.
Whether you realize it or not, and I'm not trying to convince you at all, but sure. But the station that you serve is jealous of God. But you just don't realize it yet, and I do understand that. And I want to ask, your organization has successfully amended several high school dress codes that discriminates against evil worshiper. How did you manage to do that? And why would you change the dress code of those who discriminate against evil?
It might not sound like a big difference, but I do want to point out that these issues with the school districts and the dress codes, those were sort of a personal project of mine. It wasn't really a group effort. It wasn't part of Satanism, I guess, exactly. It was a sort of a pet project of mine. And the reason I did it is that it came to my attention that these school districts, two of them, had dress codes that discriminated against one particular religion.
And that was evil.
Well, it was Satanism.
Right, which is evil.
Well, they didn't have a ban on things that were evil. They had a ban specifically on one religion. You could wear or, you know, represent other evil things. You could wear a shirt with a knife on it, maybe, but you couldn't wear a shirt that had anything to do with Satanism. And I found that to be wrong because I'm a big proponent of the First Amendment, free speech, free expression, all of that stuff. And so for a public school to discriminate against only one religion, regardless of what religion it is wrong.
And so if you don't believe that evil exists, why was it important to you to go to those schools and make a fuss about it? You didn't believe evil existed. They do. Why did it bother you since you don't believe it even exists?
No one was, not me or the school districts, was discussing evil. Evil was never even mentioned. It was never written or spoken by either side. There was no involvement of evil. Evil is a subjective term. Some people think certain things are evil. Some people think those things are good. In this case, the public schools were allowing the religious expression generally, but they were singling out one particular religion. And if that religion were Buddhism, it would still be a problem.
But they were not singling it out. They just were not promoting it.
No, it was specifically banned.
But they were not promoting it, though.
Banning it.
Meaning what?
Meaning you were not allowed to wear anything that expressed Satanism in any way.
Was this a religious school or public school?
Public school.
And so they told the kids, don't wear anything that has a symbol of Satan.
Correct.
And who told you that they told the kids that?
It was written in their dress code.
Amazing. And so what good did that do for you to change that rule?
What good did it do for me?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it didn't do me specifically very much good.
So what was the purpose of doing it?
It felt like the right thing to do.
So it felt good. It felt like the right thing.
Yeah.
And so was it the right thing?
I believe so.
And what good came from that?
Now, these public school districts' dress codes are in line with the First Amendment of our Constitution.
And that makes you happy now?
I like it.
Amazing. And so your son, is he a little Satan too?
He's not. My son is completely unaware of religion.
How old is he?
He's 17 and he has autism. Oh. And religion, one way or the other, is not a concept that is really on his radar at all.
That's amazing. Do you believe that they should ban the Bible in the schools as well?
Should they ban the Bible in schools?
Should they ban the Bible? Should the Bible be banned in schools?
No.
So why don't you fight to get the Bibles back?
I mean, I think a Bible being available in the library of a public school is fine. I think teaching a religion in public schools is wrong.
And so why don't you fight to get the Bible into the library?
I mean, is it not in the library?
I don't know at this point. I doubt it, but I don't know for sure.
If there's one book that there is no shortage of in the United States, it is the Bible.
Well, I don't know if they're allowed to put them in. Things are so bad in the public schools now, but I don't know if they're allowed to even have in the library. I have to check on it now that we have discussed it. Let me ask, what's wrong with the blacks?
I'm not sure what you mean.
What's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know. Is something wrong with them?
Why are they so angry toward the whites?
I don't know if that's really a universal truth. I mean, I can't speak to the experience of being a black person, so I'm not really sure.
Are you white?
I think so, yeah.
Do you know that there is an attack upon white men?
There's a what?
Do you know there is an attack on white men, that white men are blamed for are being blamed for everything that concerning the blacks that are wrong? It's always the white man's fault. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I wouldn't really single out and say they're sort of the enemy of black people. I would say that
I don't either, but they are. White men accused of being the enemy, and they're not. How do you feel about the attack on white men?
I can't say it really affects me. When I see the attack on white men, I don't see it coming from black people. I see it coming from everyone. The least popular thing to be nowadays is a wealthy, straight, white man, you know?
Yeah.
And why is that? Because there's a lot of those.
And why is that?
Probably because that describes a group of people that have had a lot of privilege and power over a long period of time. And marginalized groups, minority groups, sometimes they probably feel sick of that.
And what is wrong with the blacks that 150 years later, slavery ended 150 years ago, what is wrong with them that they can't seem to pull themselves up? They're still blaming someone else for their lack of being able to pull themselves up.
Honestly, I really am completely unqualified to speak on the black experience because I've never been a black man.
What do you mean by the black experience? How is that different from any other experiences?
I wouldn't know because I've never experienced anything other than being a white man.
Do you love white people?
I love specific white people.
Do you love white people?
No, not as a whole.
And why not?
Because I don't know them. I don't love any group of people universally just because they exist. I love people that are deserving of my love.
And you don't love all white people?
No.
Do you love the Jews?
As a whole? No. I don't love any group of anything as a whole.
How is it possible to love some but not all?
My feelings about a person are very individualized to my experience with that person. I don't have love for anyone that I've never met.
And why not?
How could I love them? How could I have a feeling about them if I've never even met them?
And so what is love?
Well, it's another one of those pretty intangible feelings that you kind of know it when it happens.
And why do you believe that love is a feeling?
That's just what we call those things, right? When my son was born, that was the most unusual case of feeling love for a person that I'd ever experienced, because I hardly knew him. He was just born, but I already felt like I loved him. There was an inherent connection there. Whereas every other version of that that I've ever experienced comes from some sort of relationship that you have with a person, the type of relationship you have with maybe your mother, your brother, your friend, or your wife. Any of these type of relationships can have, you know, can be described as love. They feel a little different from one another, but you know them as love.
Let me ask, do you, a quick question about your father, do you miss not having the love for your father?
I never had love for my father.
Do you miss that? Is there something missing? Do you wish that you had had love for your father and your father loved you?
Sure, sometimes, yeah.
And what does that feeling feel like to miss that or to wish you had had that?
Just sort of a missed opportunity, you know? I can't miss it. Like, if you grew up with your family and then when you're, you know, of whatever age, your parents split up, you might miss your father if now he's gone. You got used to being with him and now he's gone, so you miss it. But I never had that. So I never missed it because my normal was I didn't have a father in my life with any regularity.
And how do you deal with that emptiness that you have when nothing else seemed to complete it but the love of a father? Like, you make money, you have your own show, you're doing your little Satan worshiping, you're doing everything, but still you have that emptiness, that void. How do you deal with that?
Some of the feelings that I had about not having much of a father growing up, that sort of started to come to a head when I found out that I was going to be a father. And the way that worked for me was I used my father as an example of what not to do. And he was what I wanted to not be as a father. And so I just used it as a learning experience. And I thought, I'm going to do my best to be as much of the opposite of that as I can be for my son.
And so when you ask your father, why wasn't he there for you? What did he say?
He made a bunch of excuses. He sort of blamed it on other people and circumstances, and he wanted to, but it just couldn't happen, you know. Again, and just for some background, my experience with my father isn't that unique because he had, as far as I know, we learn about more of them as time goes on. But as far as I know, he has 7 children.
Nice.
And he only had a relationship with the last 3, which were from the same woman. All of the other kids were one and done. So he had a lot of children with a lot of women.
And how did
not
you
many of them did he have a relationship with.
And did you forgive your mother for turning you away from your father?
Oh, I don't believe she did.
And why not?
I think my mother would have been, she was just fine with my father spending time with me or being a part of my life. She wasn't any kind of roadblock in that.
So let me ask, are you liberal or conservative in politics?
That's a tough question for me, honestly. I don't know is the most honest answer. I don't enjoy politics, and I know our broad subject matter here today is Satanism, and for a lot of people, their Satanism is very political. That is their Satanism. That is not my Satanism. My Satanism is completely apolitical, and for the most part, politics don't interest me very much, you know, on a casual level, I guess they do. But I'm sure I probably have some views that lean toward one side and other views that lean toward the other side.
And so are you voting for the Great White Hope?
I don't even know who that is, but whoever it is, I won't be voting for them.
Do you live in America?
I do.
How can you live in America and not know who the Great White Hope is?
Again, I avoid politics whenever possible.
You can't avoid this one no matter what you did.
Yeah. Is that Trump we're talking about?
I rest my case.
Okay.
I knew you had to know who the Great White Hope is. What the?
Well, I mean, of the two candidates that I know are running, he's the whitest. And so I suspect it's him.
That's right. And so are you going to vote for him this time around?
I will not, no.
And why not?
I won't be voting for anyone.
And why not?
However long it would take me to go vote, I can't imagine a more useless way to spend my time.
And so you can't complain then about what's happening in the country if you didn't participate in trying to make it better by voting for the Great White Hope.
Sure I can.
How's that?
I just do it. It's like a little miracle that happens. I don't vote, and yet I complain.
That doesn't seem right to complain and then do nothing about it.
I'm sure you're probably familiar with the famous comedian George Carlin, right?
Yes.
I think he had a well-known bit about this very topic, and he pointed out that it is specifically the people that don't vote who get to complain. Because the people that do vote are responsible for the problems. You all did this, not me.
Oh, what a mess. So let me ask, when you do your Hail Satan at church, at your Bible church thing, when you guys are lifting up hands and Hail Satan, who are you doing the Hail Satan to if you don't believe Satan exists?
When we are together and doing our big Hail Satans like we like to do sometimes, it's all about us. You know, very often, if you spend any time around, you know, Satanism one way or the other, you'll surely see the phrase hail yourself or hail thyself. And that's really what it's all about. When we hail Satan, we're celebrating the ideas that make up our Satanism. Those are the things that feel good to us. And, you know, like I said, we don't believe in a Satan. It's a symbol to us, and we're celebrating all of what that symbol represents in that moment.
So you're saying that when you guys are doing the Hail Satan on late Saturday night in the wee hours of the darkness with candlelight, mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're thinking that you are Satan.
No, we're thinking that I'm just me. And I want to do the things that give me personal power, make me feel good, you know? And that's sort of the sentiment behind our Hail Satans.
That's amazing. So let me ask, do you believe racism exists?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
And what's your proof?
Well, the way I understand racism is, you know, having feelings about a group of people based on their racial identity and not anything about their actual person. And we see that all the time. There are pretty vocal racists out there in the world, racist organizations. They've been around forever.
So how do you feel when the blacks are racist toward you? as a white man?
I wouldn't like it if anyone of any race was racist toward me.
So how do you feel when the blacks are racist toward you as a white man?
I wouldn't like that.
Do you like it?
When they treat you that? Like it, no.
Right. And would you speak up for yourself?
You sure, yeah.
Why are white people afraid to speak up to the blacks when the blacks are being racist toward them?
I mean, I really couldn't tell you. I mean, that it doesn't describe experiences that I have with any regularity. I can't remember the last time where I felt, I don't know, victimized in any way because of my race.
So you never see black in your town? There are no blacks.
Oh, there are plenty. My next door neighbor is a black family.
Really? Does he have a white wife or something?
Nope, they're just a black family.
And do you stay out of their way?
I never viewed myself as in their way.
Now I'm messing with you. So let me ask, should men play in women's sports?
I'm sorry?
Should men play in women's sports?
Should men? You're talking about like transgender athletes?
No, I'm asking you, should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
I guess not.
And why not?
They're called women's sports because they're for women.
And should women be allowed to play in men's sports?
No.
No?
No.
Right on. Do you have fear?
Sure. Yeah.
And what does fear feel like to you?
Oh, you know, on one hand, these are great questions that you're asking, Jesse, but they are sometimes tough to articulate an answer, you know, without using the word. Fear is like love. It's one of those feelings that you get. And, you know, is it indescribable? You know, it is what it is. We know fear. I like to sometimes embrace fear. I do things that make me scared sometimes. What I don't like is, fear is like that feeling of impending danger, injury, or the possibility of injury, or fear of the unknown. You know, it's an anxiety of, I don't know what this is going to be. It could be negative and I don't want that. And it could be a physical thing. It could be a life situation. You know, I fear for my son all the time.
And so do you love the feeling of fear?
I appreciate the feeling of fear.
Really? Do you have anger?
Sure.
And where do you get your anger from?
What do you mean? Where do I get it from?
Where does it come from?
I mean, it can come, sometimes it comes in the form of a person, you know, someone does a thing and that's the emotion that happens. It's involuntary.
But how about when you have that fear when no one is around, you are just alone and you get the feeling of fear? Where does that come from?
Most of the time it comes from the unknown. You know, the fear that I'm most often dealing with is related to my son, you know, and I suspect many parents probably feel a bit of that. They fear for their child's future. And sometimes I feel like for me, that feeling is amplified because of my son having autism and my concerns for the way his future will look for him.
And when, in short, because of time now, when you get that fear, when you're alone, or you get that fear and it's not about your son, where does that come from?
It's a tough one to answer, really. You know, I do things like skydiving. I enjoy skydiving.
And but I'm talking about when you're not skydiving or anything. You're just alone in your room, or you're not doing anything, where does that fear come from?
I mean, it comes from, at least, you know, again, in the case of something like my son, it comes from love. It comes from...
So your fear when you're alone has nothing to do with your son or skydiving. Are you saying that fear come from love?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm either fearful of a specific thing. I'm not ever fearful in general.
But you notice that when you're alone in your room, you have fear. Not all the time.
I have a fear of a specific something when I'm alone in my room. I'm not just fearful of nothing.
So let me ask, yes or no, the fear that you get, is that from God or from Satan?
I would suggest it's from neither.
And do you love that feeling?
No.
Amazing. So I got to put you on the hot seat.
Sure.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
I mean... Jesse, these are tough, man. hard to say.
Is America the greatest country on this side of heaven?
It's the only one I've ever been to, so far it's my favorite one.
Did you take the jab?
Yes, I did.
Is the earth flat or round?
It's pretty round.
Flat. What's it? Black Sabbath or Metallica?
Now we're really talking about some serious stuff here. Wow, that is really tough. I'm going to say Black Sabbath only because without Black Sabbath, there would have been no Metallica.
Amazing. Is it wrong for black men to love the Confederate flag?
No.
Say what?
No.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
That one, I honestly do not know.
Do you have white privilege?
I suspect that I probably do, yeah.
True or false, abortion is worse than slavery?
False.
Do we need more white babies?
Do we need more?
Yes.
I don't. One and done for me.
But do we need more white babies?
I mean, eventually we'll probably need more babies in general, and a whole lot of people are white, so probably yes.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Did the bear shit in the woods?
I suspect yes.
True or false? Sending your child to a public school is child abuse.
False.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for taking on the hot seat. Tell the folks how to get to your podcast or whatever else information you want to put out there.
My podcast is called the Hail Satan Podcast. It is available on every podcast platform, including Spotify and Apple Music. You can visit HailSatanPodcast.com and you'll find everything you need to know.
Amazing. So let me ask you one quick question. It sounds like you and your organization don't have anything to do with the Satan guy that created the Satan book or Bible, whatever you want to. Whatever that guy's name, you don't have anything to do with that guy, right?
No, some of it, we appreciate bits of his philosophy and we recognize his place in it all, but we're not his organization.
Can you think of one thing you disagree with him about?
Yes, I mentioned earlier that he was extremely anti-Christian.
Right.
And so whatever Christianity said, he just by default had to sort of go to the opposite. And that doesn't really work for me. I think some Christian values just happen to be normal, good values that work for most people. And I don't see the need to say that every one of those sins is like a good thing that I need to do. He was just a little more extreme in some cases than I am.
Do you love the Christians?
I love some Christians.
Do you love the Christians?
Again, just I don't love any whole group of people. I love individuals only.
Amazing. Thank you again for coming on, man. That was fun. And thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, and go to thefallenstate.com/donate. Thefallenstate.tv. Thank you, Daniel. My producer's on the side here, you know. Thank you. thefallenstate.tv/donate, or click into the description link there and go to locals.com to support what we are doing there. Check out our merch, amazing merch. Check it out, and thank you all. Let us hear from you. Anybody that you would like to see on the Fallen State, let us know about it. Thank you again, and thank you, Joseph. That was fun.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Amazing.